Auburn with an emotional win that hopefully exercises some demons as they take down Texas A&M 43-41.
In the world full of podcasts, he's the undisputed heavyweight champion of hot takes, an Auburn sports homer, master of the book, and message board legend. Get your buttons buttoned and your hats flattened because the Top Button Podcast is about to kick off. And you don't want to miss your courtside seat. Now, here's your host, Charlie Five.
Yes, sir. We're back. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Rush, a.k.a. Charlie Five. Happy Sunday after a win. Happy Sunday after a top 15 win. Boy, it's been a while since we've been able to say that. Emotional. I was completely spent last night. Auburn needed that one so bad. We needed that one so bad. We're going to talk about that in detail. I could not have been more wrong about how this game played out. Just what a shock at the way everything unfolded. And then for Auburn to seal it there at the end, it was great. And then obviously massive for recruiting, for them to get to see that environment. We're going to break it all down in just a second. But before we get started, we got to give a shout out to mybookie.ag. Use coupon code next round for a 300% deposit bonus. It was 100% in the sports book. Now it's 300% in the casino. All the casino games that you love, blackjack, roulette, craps, all that stuff. They got it. All kind of different card games. Go use that free play. Win a bunch of money in the casino. Then flip over to that sports book and bet anything you can imagine. Any line you can imagine, any sports you can imagine. It's a ton of fun. Just don't forget the coupon code next round. It's mybookie.ag. Oh, boy. I'm still reeling. Couldn't sleep. Probably only slept just a handful of hours last night. Going over and over and over the game, the season, just what this means. And then just the high of coming off a 4-overtime win like that and just everything that goes along with it. It was emotional. I'm not going to make this about me, this is the first year that I've really been covering Auburn. I've been doing an Auburn podcast in some form or fashion for 3 or 4 years now. This is the first time I've ever really been dug in and putting out daily content and covering the team at a level that I've never done before. And it's been hard. It's been tough. I'm typically a glass half full guy, and it's been draining. It's been exhausting to try to not necessarily lie or spin, but really point to, you know, the positives that could eventually lead to something good with this team, with this coaching staff, with this program. And it's been tough. It's been tough. You seemingly invent new ways to lose every single game, and it's been tough. So this one, I needed this one bad. I really needed this one bad, and I know all you guys did too. And it's special that we get to share it together, and we're going to get to share a lot more, hopefully, in the future. You know, as an Auburn fan, you watch Auburn games, especially this season, and as good as Auburn played last night on offense, as good as Auburn played at times on defense last night, even with a 21-point lead right out of the gate, you're thinking, when something bad happens, is this it? Is this where it turns? Is this where it goes south? And that happened, I don't know, it's impossible not to think that way, but it happened multiple times over the game. And man, you just keep surviving them. You keep surviving them. So I don't have any problem whatsoever with the field rushing because of that. Boy, this was an emotional release. It really was. I mean, think about those seniors and everything they've gone through, almost having those opportunities. Think about it. Think about the Iron Bowl in Harsin's first season. It's right there. Overtime. You're right there. You have a chance. You can't get it done. The Iron Bowl last year, you're right there. You can't get it done. Georgia, you're right there. One drive, one stop, you're right there. You can't get it done. Over and over and over, it seems. And then look at this season. Oklahoma, you're right there. Just run, if you don't turn it over, you're right there. You can't get it done. And so just continuing to do that over and over and over just is so emotionally draining. That was just a visceral. We had a discussion on that. We had a discussion about this because there's been a lot of field rushing lately. And I know sometimes the more it happens, the less special it becomes or the less unique it becomes. But man, that was last night was totally just a visceral reaction, just sort of like an exhale of held breath is what it felt like to me, to just be able to exercise some demons that you've had for multiple years now. Haven't beat a top-ranked team, a ranked team, in what, since I guess maybe you got to go all the way back to, I think, Ole Miss, Harsin's first year. I think that may have been the last one. It's just loss after loss after loss. And you're always clinging to the hope that you can build your way out of it. We're going to get there. We're going to build our way out of it eventually. And it seems like it just keeps taking time and upsets and disappointment. And then finally you go into overtime, the fourth overtime. It's late in the night. You've been giving it your all from the crowd to the dudes on the sideline to the guys on the field. It didn't matter. You've been just going crazy, and you get it done. And it's almost just like an exhale of emotion, and you just end up, next thing you know, you're on the 30-yard line jumping up and down, swag surfing. I saw a video where KLS was being crowd surfed, and I was like, you know what? He should have to choose to walk places. People should just carry him like that everywhere around the whole campus because he's unreal. The catch he made in the end zone there at the end was remarkable. It's one from a level of difficulty, 50-50 ball, thrown a little bit behind him in traffic, and he reels it in. I mean, these seniors, man, they just deserved it. They deserved it so much. Gosh, Jarquez Hunter, he deserved it. Peyton Thorne. I know he's very polarizing, but he deserved it. He may be limited a little bit, but golly, he plays hard. When he got hit in the face on that, I don't know exactly what point in time it was. Maybe at the overtime whenever he broke contain and got hit right in the face mask and got the first down and jumped up, and I thought he was going to be knocked out. He jumped up, pointed for the first down, and ran back to the huddle. Dude's a warrior. I know that he's made some mistakes. He made one last night, but he's also, he just battles. He just battles. And they all deserve it. Last night was about Auburn. Rushing the field was about Auburn. I don't care what other schools say. I don't care what Twitter has to say. Last night was about us. Last night was about healing, seeing a light at the end of the tunnel in the darkness that has been over the last several years. Last night was about Auburn. So I could not care less what other people have to say about the rushing the field. Auburn people being so relieved or even being emotional about this game, I don't care. This was big. This was big. This was hopefully – this is a plant a flag in the ground and move forward with a different future type game. So big time. I really, really, really enjoyed it. It was a fun, fun game to watch, and you're just on the edge of your seat, and the guys pulled it out. So it was huge. It was huge. On my show, Know the Enemy, I don't think that I could have been more wrong about how this game would play out. I mean, literally everything that I said we should watch out for, I feel like I've been able to pinpoint it pretty well over the year. I got a pretty decent pulse of the team. I feel like I got a pretty decent pulse of the program, but I could not have been more wrong last night. I mean, just all the different things about the way the game played out. Number one, the offensive line was unreal. Best game of the year against the best defensive line that they played all year. Continued to give, they gave Peyton time over and over and over again to be able to execute this thing. They got push when they had to. They were blowing them off the ball at times. Now, Texas A&M got theirs too on stopping the run. I think they held Jarquez to his lowest rushing total of the season, but then he also had the most carries he's had all season. Now, some of those obviously go into overtime count. So, I mean, not some of them, all of them in overtime count. So that helped, but still, I said that I was the matchup I was most worried about was that matchup, our offensive line versus their defensive line. And honestly, just being 100%, I didn't have a ton of faith because they're that good. And I'm just going to say it. They pretty much handled them. They did, man. Barring some silly false start penalties, I think they could have won it outright. I think they could have won the game outright. I mean, and it would have been on the offensive line that won that game. All of those guys should get the game ball. I mean, Jeremiah Wright was mauling people. Braden Joyner, holy cow, man, what a story. Auburn High kid, local kid, getting his starts over the last several games. Plays, he's limited as well physically, but gosh, he just plays so hard, man. Connor Liu, both tackles. I mean, you had to put Percy in there at one point in time, and I think, you know, they struggled a little bit, but for the most part, Dylan Wade played unreal. It was just, I just could not believe how well the offensive line played. I didn't know they had that in them. And maybe it was the crowd that fueled them, but they were mauling them. They were mauling NFL players. It was fun to watch. They were gashed. Those first three drives, just gash. There ain't nothing you can do about it. Now, Texas A&M tightened it up a little bit. That lap from about 10 minutes to go in the second quarter through about for the rest of the game until that last drive where Auburn goes down and kicks a field goal to tie it. They made some adjustments, but man, offensive line, I was way wrong on how that played out. The defense, man, struggling a little bit. That is not something I would have expected. I would have not expected Marcel Reed to be able to pick us apart like he did. And that's fine. I mean, that's going to happen. They limited him on the ground, which I said, if he were to able to break contain, that's where he can really hurt us. But honestly, he hurt us in the pocket. They were throwing a lot of quick stuff. And the times that he was able to extend, he extended from the pocket, in my opinion. When we would rush three and drop eight, which I've always been a proponent of mixing it up, but I think I'm about ready to throw that one away. Throw the whole rush three and drop eight, because it doesn't seem like we've made a few plays out of it, but it seems like on the big conversions, that's what it is. And I bet you if you go back though and watch, you've probably had a bunch of good stops too, but it just seems like you can pinpoint it every single time. But yeah, the defense struggled. I mean, you gave up how many points in regulation? 31 in regulation. That's just not something I would have expected. If you told me that we gave up 31, I'd have thought we got our butt beat. And they did. They gave up 31, but somehow we still won. Even still with them giving up a bunch of yards and giving up a bunch of plays and giving up a bunch of points, they made some plays when they had to. I mean, they made some big plays when they had to. I go back to we're down 3 points and we get the ball and we go three and out with 4 minutes left. You got to kick it back to them. Don't punt particularly well. Honestly, punt horrid. Oscar had a terrible night. Great night holding. Now, he holds for extra points and field goals, and he had an unbelievable night holding because the snapper was a little bit a little bit off. If you watch that at all, every field goal, it seemed like, or extra point, it seemed like he was having to reach and really fight to get that ball down. But he struggled punting, gave them the ball back, and then stopped them. Had to. Not only stopped them, kept them out of field goal range. like that was another thing. Like they could have kicked a field goal, and now Auburn has to score to win the game. But they kept them out of field goal range, and that dude had a howitzer. He could have kicked it from 60 almost. And you kept them out. And it was, just can't say enough. They've been there all year for us. Even when they struggle, they still make some plays. The 2-point conversion, the stupidest overtime thing ever that's ever invented. The 2-point, I thought we'd scratched. I thought they threw that out after like the first year, but I guess they still do it. You stop them twice. They didn't score a 2-point conversion. Now, the last one was just a flat-out drop. It was a little bit of a low throw. It should have been a very pretty easy catch, and he just dropped it. But, man, you're putting stress on him. Caleb Harris, the play he made on the first overtime, that's a, like a fifth-year senior play. That's like an NFL draft pick. That's an NFL play. Safety on a tight end, you're able to reach around and deflect the ball without getting pass interference called. Unbelievable play. The dude's like twice his size, and he did not let his body shield him. He just reached around and made the play. I mean, even in struggles, they're able to make plays to win the game. Ian Vachon, man. What a game. I said that if Auburn got into a late game scenario or got into overtime, it's advantage A&M because Auburn has had kicking woes. And he missed one early in the game. It was pretty bad. He hooked it pretty bad. But you get to the end of the game, you got to hit. I mean, this dude, think about it. This guy's whole college was shut down. Where he was playing football. They shut the whole school down. And so he just walked on at Auburn with probably no real intentions of ever getting meaningful playing time. So you're here at Auburn. You're on. You're just sort of a reserve. And, you know, if you play, great. If you don't, that's fine too. I'm getting an education since my education was taken away from me at Birmingham Southern. But, no, you get thrust into the action. And you get a chance to tie a game at the end of the game, a walk-off game-tying field goal. And I know all of us were nervous, and he just drilled it. And then the most important kick was the one in overtime from 40-plus yards. There was no chance he was going to make that. And I knew if he missed it, obviously, the Texas A&M kicker could make it from the spot in which they got the ball for overtime. He was good, easily good from there. And he had to kick a long one, and he made it. But still, Ian's play down the stretch, I would have never predicted that. What a clutch night. Two incredibly clutch kicks that he'll get to remember forever. I could not have been more wrong about that. It was not a disadvantage for Auburn. He made a believer out of me. The game went way over. I think the total was like 47 and a half, 48 points. I would have thought that would have hit 21-17, 21-20. I would have thought it would have been way under. And not only was it not way under, but it went over in regulation. 31. I mean, it was 60. I guess the total was 62 in regulation. This is one of those crazy games, man. There was literally could not have been more opposite of the way I expected it to go. And then one of the more surprising things that I also would have never expected was Peyton, after throwing an interception, after having some adversity, after losing the lead, would lead a game-tying drive. the fourth down conversion where he stepped up and made a big run. A lot gets made about him not being able to be clutch, not being able to overcome anything that goes awry. Well, he did it tonight. He did it tonight. He played really well, and he was honestly, I know the receivers made some big plays, made some big catches, but he played great, man. He played great, and when you really look at the numbers, we'll dive into this more. I mean, if he doesn't sit out, if he doesn't ever get benched, which I understand why, but if he doesn't ever get benched, he's going into the Alabama game with an opportunity to throw for over 3,000 yards. When Hugh says he's played solid, I mean, it's true. He's been pretty solid. It's been limiting at times, but he's also played well enough at other times to win games, and he finally did it tonight. He led us down the field, tied the game up, and then played really good in overtime. Played really good in overtime. So could not have been more wrong about the game. Missed it on every single way you can miss it. I missed it. But that's okay because we got the dub and it feels good. Last thing, man, I can't imagine a better scenario for recruit. I don't think you could script it better. I mean, think about it. Auburn's rebuilding. Got a really great 1.5 recruiting classes. You see them on the field. You see them making plays. You know that they're making progress. You just haven't quite seen it in the win column yet. And you go and you face a top 15 team under the lights. They got to be looking around saying, this team is 4-6. Look at this crowd. Feel this atmosphere. They're going to be behind us no matter what. Why would I not want to play in front of these guys? Why would I not want to play here? And then you pull the win off, and it's just an eruption of excitement and emotion. And the recruits get to rush the campus, rush the field. I mean, they honestly, I don't know that the field gets rushed if it wasn't for them. Deuce Knight was the first one out there. Deuce Knight was the first one on the field. If you watch the film or if you watch all the videos, he was the first person that rushed that field, which is crazy. All those guys getting a chance to be a part of that, I don't think you could have written a better script. They're close. They're building. They're winning. They've won now. They've got the taste of it. There's just a few missing pieces, and I know I can be that piece. I know I can be that missing piece. This team's going places. Auburn's going places. I want to be a part of it. And I think you're going to get a flip out of it. I really do. I think you're going to – now, was he probably going to flip prior? Maybe so. But I think you're going to get some flips out of this one. I really do. I think this one sealed it for a couple. Usman Chroma, Naeem Alford, those guys, I think they're going to be in the class. I think last night went a long way. So all in all, this was not going to be one of those just dive in and go talk about all the highlights of the game and things like that. This is just, man, just a pure reaction, just emotional reaction to the game last night. Not a lot of sleep, a lot of things going through my head. But man, that was fun. And you guys make it worth getting on here and talking about it. I appreciate you guys for hanging in, not only hanging in with Auburn, but hanging in with me for this whole season, because I know it's been tough. But we're gonna keep at it, and hopefully tonight is a sign of brighter days. Our last night was a sign of brighter days. So guys, if you like this video, like it. If you like this channel, subscribe to it. You can follow me on Twitter, @_Charlie_5. You know we're gonna go live tonight and let you guys react with me. Let's have some fun. Get in the comments. Tell me everything that's on your mind. And we're gonna break it down. We're gonna have fun doing it. Talk recruiting. Go dive a little bit deeper into the game, and just overall, just continue to celebrate, because this was a big win. So you guys, we'll talk again soon. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. Stay buttoned.
Thanks for listening, and drive home safely.